Welcome to Pocketoid, the internet's number one Morbius fan cast. With me, as always, is my lovely Morbius super fan.
I have a sickness, and the sickness is Morb Mania. Jordan, you can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27.
Did you say Morb Mania?
Yeah.
All right. And as always, I am Addison, and you can follow me on the internet at Morbius Superfan 69X420 or at Addison_L, and you can follow the show at Pocketoid.
And you can also find a link at our website, which is morbussy.com.
Find a link to buy tickets now for your local showtime to Morbius. Make sure you get them early because they're selling out.
Yeah.
All the time, constantly.
Everybody's seen that movie.
And as always, you can follow the show at Pocketoid. And you go check out our pinned tweet to find links to the most recent trailers for Morbius and all the rumors and leaks for Morbius 2 and theories as to what the post-credit scene means for the Sony Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think it means that we're going to get a Spawn movie. That's not Marvel. I don't know. I couldn't think of what would be. They're going to make a Kraven the Hunter movie starring Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson is Kraven the Hunter.
No, I was going to say Joaquin Phoenix, but sure.
Yeah, why not?
It brings me so much joy to imagine how angry Kevin Feige is every time Sony does more bullshit they didn't sign off on in their movies.
Yeah.
Like, I hear there's like stuff in this one that completely like fucks up the Avengers timeline and just doesn't make any sense for the universe at all.
Good. I don't know anything about that movie, and I have a feeling that whenever I do eventually sit through it for reasons, that I will come out of it knowing almost just as little. Anyways, if you go check out the pinned tweet on our Twitter account, you will see a link to the Discord server where there's a bunch of cool people. And you should check that out because it's a fun time in there and people are nice. And you can also check out our streams that we usually do on Tuesdays, hit and miss, over at twitch.tv/pocketoid. And lastly, if you are feeling generous, then we have our Ko-fi page that is ko-fi.com/pocketoid. And you may have seen some weird stuff going on with the show recently. And so hopefully we can maybe have some money thrown together soon to move off of this super janky way that we've been hosting the show for the last 11 years.
I think it's really sad to me because we use FeedBurner, which, is Google's nightmare, RSS feed platform that is free, but it hasn't been updated in 10 years, literally. And it's like, I tried to find another source. It's still the only free option out there. There used to be multiple ones, but it's the only one today. And it sucks because it's like, as soon as it dies, which it's going to, every single podcast will be forced to pay for hosting fees, which is so stupid because like we host our stuff at Archive and that should be it. It should be enough for us, but no, we'll have to, re-upload the whole show somewhere else, and that's frustrating, but whatever. Right now the RSS feed seems to be fixed. I know that some people who use Pocket Casts are still having some weirdness. I don't know what to tell you because it works for everyone else other than like one or two people I've heard from. I'm going to send the screenshots that people have sent me of it still fucked up to the folks at Pocket Casts and also to the folks at FeedBurner, and hopefully they can figure something out because I don't know. But For right now, everybody else is fine. And I use Pocket Casts and mine looks fine. The solution I've found is that you have to unsubscribe and delete the show and then resubscribe and it looks normal. But
don't forget the resubscribe part.
Yeah, for some people, after the Morbius part, everybody's just unsubscribing. Yeah. But for some people, it still looks the same. But most people, it's fixed it. So I don't know. I don't know why it's doing this.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So anyway,
well,
there's that.
I can't believe that Google is still somehow supporting Feedburner. I don't think. Somewhere somebody just doesn't realize that like they're still doing that. Very much an Office Space situation
That's absolutely what fucked it up, because someone realized that they are doing it like just recently and they were like, oh shit, we're gonna remove this feature for like email subscriptions. Like you can't do email subscriptions through Feedburner anymore. But I think it's that they realize there's so many podcasts that use it, they're basically leaving it up just for podcasts, kind of. And so like, which makes sense, but it seems like it's all being done by one guy. Cause I've been emailing with this guy and I'm also surprised that it's still up, but here we are. So
yep,
we'll figure it out.
All right. So I guess we'll talk about video games, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Have you been playing any video games other than like the two that we're talking about this week?
So I fucked up my hands. I've got bad carpal tunnel and I have been just trying to let them heal. But in the midst of that, there was one day this week where I thought things were better and I messed up and played a couple of video games. I played Klonoa for the Game Boy Advance, the first one. I don't remember the name of it, but it's the subtitle, but it's the first one for GBA. And that game's great. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show yet, but I've been playing it for a few weeks and I just love it. It's so good. I would love to see a compilation of those GBA games and also the WonderSwan game whenever, or after this, you know, this newer compilation they're releasing comes out. Because they're very good games. They're more like puzzle platformy than they are like, you know, adventure games, but they still have little boss battles and the levels are, I usually don't like puzzle platformers because they make me frustrated and they're hard, but this one's like it's not hard, but it's like just enough of like a little brain teaser that I don't know. It makes you feel satisfied when you finish a level and but it's still like a relaxing, nice little time. They're good games. So I played a little Klonoa, and then I also got a new Wii game in this week, which is Castle of Shikigami 3. It's a shooter developed by, actually we talked about it last week, weirdly enough, on during our, Dawn of the Monsters interview, because it came out that the folks who made the Godzilla fighting game for Super Nintendo and TurboGrafx also made this game. So it got a weird mention. But this game is a shooter. It's a shmup for the Wii and PS2, but I think the US only got the Wii release, and it's kind of one of the rarer Wii games, but I got a good price on it. And it's really good. It's also just weird and stupid. So
just how all the best shooters are.
Yeah, but this one is a certain special brand of stupid. So, like, Castle of Shikigami 2 is kind of infamous because it was released in the U.S. as Mobile Light Force 2 and has, like, a Charlie's Angels cover on it and looks terrible. And you can find that for, like, $5 anywhere. It's a great shooter, and you can find it for $5 for the PS2. But one of the reasons that game is so infamous is because it may have the worst dub of all time. Like,
hell yeah,
like unimaginably bad. It sounds like they pulled people off the street and just like handed them lines. Like, it's terrible. But it's also like the writing is really weird too. And it's like the translation is really bad. And in this game, in Castle of Shikigami 3, it has much better voice actors. But I still wouldn't call it good, because it seems like the writing is still like mistranslated somehow. And the game is also trying to be kind of a parody and be funny, but then you have like jokes that don't make any sense because they're not translated into English correctly. Wow, it's just very special. It's very special to get to listen to, or to get to explore the story and world of this game while not understanding a word of what the fuck anyone's talking about.
Amazing.
But the gameplay part is actually really, really good. And I'd say it's like probably the best shooter on the Wii. If you're looking for a shmup for the Wii, this is probably the one to get. So, yeah. Or if you're just a naughty boy who likes to throw stuff on your USB thumb drive like Addison, you can also do that. It's a good game.
It's a hard drive, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I got your Dreamcast shenanigans and your Wii shenanigans mixed up.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah, those two are the only games I've been playing, and I played them for, like, an afternoon because my hands have been so screwed up. I haven't been able to play anything. I'm just trying to let them heal.
Man, that sucks.
It really sucks. It's like, boy, I sure hope this goes away because everything I like to do requires my hands, and it sucks. Everything. Okay. You know what I mean. You know. Right. No, I mean, like, you know, it sucks. I can't, like, get on social media on my phone. I can't, like, play games or like finish my CRT setup because I need to like nail stuff into the wood and, you know, pick up big heavy TVs. And that I'm pretty sure that's what brought about this second round that I'm having right now. So I'm just trying to take things slow, and it sucks. So anyway, well, but
if you want me to come help with any of that sometime, just let me know.
I'm just going to have you come over and play Rune Factory 5 for me. I'll just tell you everything to do and where to go, and you just do it for me.
I'll be like, no, you don't want to romance that one.
We're
going to romance this one.
All right, well, that's all my stuff. Addison, I know you've been playing some video games. What have you been playing?
Yeah, so we do have a couple big games to talk about. We're going to talk about Rune Factory 5, and we're going to talk about Kirby. But before we get into that, some things that I have been playing, I finally, after saying that I was going to do it over and over again, I finally set the PlayStation Core up on my Mister.
Hell yeah.
And, wouldn't you know it, it was so easy. It took like nothing. I just like, put a file on there and a script, and then I ran the script, and then I just started loading ROMs up there. So I've been playing a lot of PS1 games, kind of just sampling a lot of stuff and seeing like what I might want to spend more time with. Oddly enough, I kind of think I want to spend a bunch of time with that Neversoft Spider-Man game.
Hell yeah. I mean, that game fucking rules. Why would you not want to do that?
And
I think it's only like 4 or 5 hours too. So
yeah, I figured it probably wasn't very long. I started it last night, and got like a little ways into it. And I also didn't realize that there was a sequel to it. PlayStation.
Wait a sec. Have you never played these games before?
No, I played the first one, but I had never played the second one.
Yeah. Enter Electro is good, but it's not great. Like the first game is like best Spider-Man game, not for the PlayStation 4. And the second one is like pretty good. So, yeah.
And then I also played some Harmful Park.
Hell yeah.
I wasn't super familiar with it, but I had seen it in some YouTube videos, and I decided that looks pretty great. And so I grabbed that, and it turns out it is pretty great.
Isn't it cool that you have the option to download it for free rather than paying $500 for a copy?
Yeah. For real. That game is really gorgeous.
Yeah.
Some other big highlights for me, Einhander, that game, another just incredible shooter so far, probably my favorite shooter I've played on the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's very good.
Just such a banging soundtrack.
And I just love the visuals. And I just love the mechanic too. I love how you can like, you just like kind of use your little arm to grab different weapons, and you can like put them above or below you, and they fire differently if you do that. And yeah, it's a cool game.
And you had recommended Gunner's Heaven or Haven?
It's Gunner's Heaven.
Yeah, Gunner's Heaven. And I wasn't familiar with that, but I played that for a while this weekend.
I think it's called Rapid Reload in the UK, but Gunner's Heaven is, you know, 60 FPS. So that's the version to play.
Okay. Yeah. So is it a treasure game?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's inspired by Gunstar Heroes for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say it sure feels like a treasure game, but I don't think it is one.
I can't remember who made it though.
But man, that game, super, super cool.
Do you know why we never got it in the US?
Why?
Because Sony wouldn't allow people to publish 2D games in the United States. Isn't that crazy?
That's like the same reason why we only got like one 2D game on the Nintendo 64 in the US.
Yep. Yep.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, just basically loading my Mister up with a bunch of PS1 games and like finally starting to actually fill my SD card, but it's still like still gonna take a while.
I can fix you up there. Real quick, baby. I can get that SD card full in no time.
I'm downloading a ton of garbage right now, and some of it I'm probably gonna remove. I looked at that Ultraman game. That was pretty goofy. I like that. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've downloaded Gamera 2000, and I don't think I saw it when I was.
Oh shit, Addison! Games. That's the number one game to download.
I know.
I do. If you're going to download that, if you're going to download one PlayStation game, it's got to be Gamera 2000. God, what a good game! That would be one to stream.
Yeah. Oh, I think we tried streaming it one time.
Oh yeah, I think we probably did, but something didn't work out or whatever.
Psychic Detective is on the PlayStation, and that's one that I've been talking up to you and Mitzi for a while.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that. I had a thought that I was gonna bring up. I kind of feel like a lot of these early disc-based games are going to be looked at the same way that like a lot of the just like kind of goofy movies that we watch like
yeah,
VHS nights, because like I was playing Spider-Man and I'm like, man, a lot of this is just really stupid and like they have some really bad acting and it's great. Like, yep. This is like the same energy as you know, these like goofy ass movies that we watch.
And yeah. I think a big part of that is, well, first of all, you've got, so I think the PS2 is also very similar in that way. And I think part of it is, you know, the similar reason why all the movies from, there's so many movies from that, from like the 80s and 90s that are like that. And it's because VHS became such a prominent way to cheaply distribute films. Well, discs became such a prominent way to cheaply create and distribute games that you just had like a lot of creativity and also just a lot of weird, stupid stuff.
Yeah, and especially with the PS2, it was just so extremely popular.
Yeah.
Like, you could just kind of guarantee X amount of sales.
Uh-huh. God, what a great time for video games.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about on this episode was also FPGA related.
Mm.
I got my Analog Pocket.
Oh yeah, I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah. And I got to play it. It was pretty cool.
It only took let's see, I think they announced it in 2018, so like 4 years.
Yikes.
But I have it now finally.
Hell yeah.
I still feel kind of bad. I'm just like, man, I wish we had both gotten ours at the same time, but
whatever. Lord knows I got plenty of Game Boys to play.
So I have been playing a lot of Game Boy games this week. Nothing like really in particular other than like Kirby's Dream Land 2 and Revenge of the Gator.
Hell yeah.
And then just kind of just bouncing around random things here and there.
Anything with
what stuff looks like.
Anything by HAL on the Game Boy is worth playing. Literally anything.
Yes. Yes.
Including Tracks. You played have you played Tracks yet? Get Tracks.
I have not.
God, what a good game. It's like an hour long. I think it's maybe my favorite Game Boy game. I just love it. It's so good.
So there are a few things about the Pocket that I am not a fan of. And that some of it is just kind of subjective. Other bits, I'm like, hopefully this gets fixed in a firmware update in the future. But first thing that a lot of people are going to be interested about, the jailbreak that you hear about with all these other analog systems, that is not a thing on the Analog Pocket as of right now.
Yeah.
There's no really, like, like window, release window, or outlook as to when or if that will happen. So I would just say don't buy one thinking that you're going to get that. Although, you know, if you buy one right now, you're not going to get it for like over a year probably. So maybe it will be out by then. But so that's like one of the big things that people are going to be curious about. A few other things that I'm not a fan of, this is like the most minor thing. The L and R buttons, they're like fine, but you know, placement wise, they're good. They're like right behind the screen, just kind of bookending where the cartridge slot is. But they're like a little mushy, and mm-hmm. I kind of wish they were more clicky.
They're not as clicky as the SP. To me, they felt okay, but yeah, they're just a little less clicky than the SP was.
It just doesn't feel super responsive to me.
Yeah. I think the main problem with them is the location, actually, because I hate how loose like Game Boy cartridges fit in the console. But like if you use those L and R buttons, like there's a very good chance you're going to tap that cartridge, because the cartridge sits in between them, and you might, you know, knock the cartridge loose, which is really frustrating. So mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm hoping they fix that cartridge slot in a revision or something, because that frustrated me quite a bit. But whatever. What can you do?
Oh, and you know, that was something I was going to bring up, is how the cartridge sits in there loose, but it kind of just, you know, some cartridges sit more loose than others. I hadn't had any issues with it. I know like you were playing and had a game freeze up on you. Mm-hmm. But I haven't personally had that happen yet. Something else, you know, talking on the negative stuff here, and this is like not, I can't be too mad about it, I guess, because it is like on like the gray side of things, but when you're using a flash cart, the sleep button doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they're saying that they may fix in upcoming firmware. We'll have to see. The firmware, even though it's like past the 1.0, it still seems kind of unfinished to me. The save states are still in, it's like a beta feature. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they showed off with their analog OS was like being able to look at like different memories of like, oh, you played this game on this day for X amount of time. And like seeing like a list of games that you've played and stuff. And those features are just grayed out. They're not enabled yet. They haven't started that. And that's just kind of a bummer, you know, after 4 years and, you know, all this buildup, I kind of thought that they would have that at launch, but.
Well, and now the console itself has been out for several months too.
And it's kind of like, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think the first ones came out in like what, like October or September last year.
That's like 6 months ago. So it's, you kind of expect those features they promised would be implemented at launch, but it's like they're not even implemented 6 months after launch, which is a little frustrating, but you know, whatever.
And you know, there's been a lot of frustration with analog, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But seems like there was something else I was going to say there, but I can't think of it. I will say, though, that the screen on this thing is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, for sure.
And they give you a lot of different video options so that you can, like, change, like, the frame blending. You can change the display from, like, the analog GBA to the, like, LCD GBA to like the SP-101. You can, you know, change your sharpness and desaturation, your size and position, and like create defaults for the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and Game Gear, because those are right now the only systems that are supported. I think it's Neo Geo Pocket Color and Atari Lynx that are coming. So those are just the ones that are available right now. But the buttons feel great. I think it feels really good in my hands. I thought whenever I first got it out of the package, I was like, oh, that's bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like after playing with it for a while, it's like, man, this feels just good to hold. And
it is a little weird to me when it's called like the analog pocket. Cause I just kind of assumed it was going to be around the size of the Game Boy Pocket, but it is definitely closer to like an original Game Boy. It's big.
Yeah. I don't think it's quite as big as like a DMG, but it's not too far off, but I don't know. It's the form factor is just very comforting. And there's like some nice little kind of shortcut keys for doing save states and loading a save state and changing your brightness or changing like which video filter you're using. And so overall, you know, I said a lot of complaints, but yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you're waiting for something for so long. Overall, I'm having a great time with this thing. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm still very happy that I bought it. And I'm excited to see what they do in the future. This is my first analog product. You know, not my first FPGA product, but I'm having a good time with this thing. I like it quite a bit. And while I am still happy with it, I would say that most people, kind of just looking at the Analog Pocket subreddit, going off of that, it seems like a lot of people are just like, oh, this is a high-end Game Boy emulator, and they don't necessarily understand what they're getting into. If you just want like a good handheld device for playing Game Boy Advance games and, you know, Super Nintendo games or something, there's other products out there that do that. And, you know, without getting super into the weeds on this, the Pocket is, like I said, FPGA. So that is hardware emulation rather than software emulation, which just means that you're getting like a way more accurate experience. But if you don't notice a difference, if you don't, you know, if you've never heard of Mr. or FPGA and you don't really care that much, which is totally fine. And you just want to play games, don't spend $300 and, you know, wait a year and a half. Just like, if you just are wanting to play something, as great as the Pocket is, and while I still do highly recommend it, I also would say that you're probably fine just getting like an AmberNIC handheld and going that route and, you know, not having to wait a bunch of time. You'll have more that you can play. You'll spend less, you'll wait less. But you know, just do some research, because I just keep seeing people that are, looking at the Pocket and being like, oh, I don't have any games. What do I need to get? Like, oh, so I can just download my ROMs straight onto this thing, right? And this is just like a handheld Raspberry Pi, right? And like stuff like that. And it's like, no, not quite. So I don't know. I just want people to kind of make sure they know what they're getting themselves into. But if you're still interested and like understand, then yeah, definitely go for it. It's absolutely worth it. It's not perfect, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah. And I do think they're going to keep releasing updates, and I think it will be jailbroken eventually. It's frustrating that it's not exactly where people want it right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do a revision of it in a couple of years that is like, that addresses everyone's problems with it, and they get a bunch of backlash from the people who already bought one.
Yep. I will be one of them, and then I'll give them more money because I want a clamshell one, and
at least
all of my complaints.
At least like their stuff holds value, like holds its value, and you can definitely resell it for enough to not have it take too much of a hit.
Yeah, especially when like you know, if that day comes, I'll be able to look back and be like, well, I still had a lot of fun with this thing.
Yeah.
And got my money's worth out of it. So,
I mean, you also could just be a piece of shit. And if you are not happy with it, sell it for $500 because apparently people are buying them at that price, which is insane to me.
People were buying the hard shell case, which is just like a plastic hard shell case. Like, it's exactly what it sounds like. People were buying that case on eBay for like $200.
Good God. Why?
I don't know. People are just, I don't know where people are getting all of their money to be like, stupid with, but
I don't either. But it is kind of cool that you could take it and like resell it for the exact price you bought it for and be fine. And it's like, not even feel like a bad person, because it's like they'd still be getting an insane deal compared to what it usually goes for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it stinks that it's not as pocketable, but I'm also kind of like, it's going to sit in my house. It's going to be my nighttime Game Boy. I'm not going to take it out that often because I just wouldn't
feel I'm kind of feeling the same way. This thing's probably not going to leave my house much. And the Playdate, which we should be getting here very soon, that is probably going to be the one that I actually throw in a pocket or a bag or something.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see how the battery is on the Playdate. I'm hoping that thing lasts a long time since it doesn't have a backlight.
I'm still like all in on the Playdate. I'm so freaking excited for that thing.
All right. Well, that's the pocket. I'm just holding it. It just feels good to hold. I like this thing. Let's talk about other game. Do you want to talk about Rune Factory?
You know, Addison, I don't think there's ever been a question that you've asked me where the answer is more yes. You could ask me that question literally day or night, any day of the week, and the answer is always going to be yes.
All right. Well, you know, I've played maybe about 6 hours or so of Rune Factory 5, and I think that you've actually played more of it than I have. So
I'm not sure if I have. I don't know if I have or not, because, well, I did put a lot of time in when I first started, though, but my hands have been fucked up for like 2 weeks now, which is cool, because the two video games I was looking forward to more than any others came out right as my hands got jacked up. It's a very cool time for me, but part of it was I was just pushing things too hard with like computer stuff and blog stuff and podcast stuff all at once. But anyway, Rune Factory 5 is a video game you can buy for your Nintendo Switch at the moment. I would not be surprised if it comes to PC, and we're going to have some issues with it that may be fixed in future ports, I would just warn you. But you know, that's all hypothetical. It may also just be confined to the Switch forever, who knows. But Rune Factory 5 is a video game that I've been waiting for basically 10 years, because the Rune Factory 4 released 10 years ago, in Japan at least. I think it was nine years ago for the US. It's a series. It was originally a spinoff series of the Harvest Moon games / Story of Seasons games. In fact, the original games were subtitled A Fantasy Harvest Moon, and they are farming action smooching games. I'd say more of an emphasis on the action and smooching than the Harvest Moon series.
This game oozes JRPG.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's like, and it's much more like it leans a little more heavily into, I don't want to say dating sim, because it's not a dating sim, but you know, if you've played Stardew Valley and that kind of thing, it leans a little more heavily into the characters and their stories and like the romance options than even the Harvest Moon games do. Now, to be fair, I've barely even played any of the newer like Story of Seasons games, so they could also do this. But it just seems to me like the Rune Factory games like make that a much bigger focus. And then they also have a little bit more of like an action RPG thing going on where you can dive into dungeons. And they also have a big, like, a lot of crafting stuff. It's also a surprisingly big part of the Rune Factory games. I wouldn't say it's, like, insanely in-depth to the point where if you don't like crafting in games, you're not going to like this, because I also do not like crafting in games. But it does have a lot of crafting stuff you can do. You can make, you know, weapons and armor and different things and specialized stuff if you feel like it. Or you can just ignore that. and struggle like I tend to, because they're not particularly like really difficult games either. So like it's, if you don't, you know, if you don't want to be super overpowered, unless you get to like secret bosses and stuff, but if you don't feel like it being super overpowered, you know, you don't have to dive as deep into the crafting and everything. But yeah, this one in particular is the first entry in 10 years, and it's kind of, and it's also the third console Rune Factory game. All the others, well, 1 through 3 were on the DS, and 4 was on the 3DS, and they all kind of had this above view, you know, like not pre-rendered backgrounds, but like painted backgrounds with 3D characters and 3D monsters. But one of the issues is that Rune Factory 5 has some performance problems, and it even originally had some people have said loading time problems, but I haven't had a big problem with the loading times. Have you?
No, not really. I feel like maybe the initial load is a little long.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not too bad.
Well, it seems like a lot of the performance problems are caused by the town and your farm. And so I'm wondering if maybe as your farm expands or like gets more customized, if maybe that increases the load times. I'm not sure. But it seems like, so this was going to be the series' big comeback. And I was really hoping that it was going to be like, you know, just like an unequivocal banger through and through. Like it was just going to take all the best elements of the series and just kind of wrap them all up in one. And no, it's not quite that. I still think Rune Factory 3 is my favorite entry. A lot of people still think Rune Factory 4 is their favorite entry, but this one does have, I think, the best romance options in the series. It does take everything from the series and kind of put it together in one big package. Cause I think it's like the 15th anniversary of the game, of the series too. So it's like kind of an anniversary game. But the issue is with like the fact that they decided to go, you know, full 3D for the first time. And it's also the first HD Rune Factory game. The other console games have all been Wii games. And then they ported one of the Wii games to the PS3. So you could argue, you know, that was the first HD Rune Factory, but I would say this one's the first Rune Factory developed for HD, and it kind of seems like it's had some growing pains. Like, for instance, like the town like feels kind of barren, and I think the problem is that they wanted to have this big town, and other Rune Factory games have very small towns, you know, where it's like you can run from one side to the other in like 30 seconds. But this one wanted a really big town, but it's like I think they realized, oh shit, we've made this big town, and the performance is bad because it's on the Nintendo Switch, and they had to like cut down the detail. That's what I assume. I would have much preferred if it was just a smaller town that had more detail. Like if you go and look at the Wii Rune Factory games, like it doesn't even compare super favorably to the way the environments in those look, which is kind of tragic. But I will say that the dungeons look great. Like the dungeons, the indoor places look pretty great. The character models look fantastic. Like that's one of the reasons why I think the town and kind of like some of the barren environments stand out more, is because like the character models look so good. I just get the vibe that this game, like I said, had some growing pains on the Switch, like the Story of Seasons series has as well. I don't think it's quite that bad. I don't think it's to that extent. But yeah, if performance stuff drives you nuts, you're going to have a bad time. So just get over it, or, you know, wait for, I guess, a PC version. Now, all that said, you know, I just want to get all that out of the way. I still think this game's fantastic. I love the combat. I love the setting. I love the characters. I love the art. I love the music. I love the farming and getting monsters to come move onto your farm and be your buddies. And I like flirting with the girls in the town, or boys if you're into that. It's also the first Rune Factory to have same-sex relationships. So if you want to be gay or bi or whatever, you can go do it. It has, you know, for the series, I would say it has like a lot of costumes you can put on. It has a lot of cool stuff. You can move furniture around wherever you want it. The only problem is that, like, even though it's the most, I would say, feature rich game in the series, it's like some of these things just kind of don't feel as fluid as you would hope they would. Like even moving furniture around, right? It can feel like kind of twitchy because you pick it up and then wherever you set it down, it just kind of stays there. But it's like you would hope there'd be kind of like an animal, like a grid, like an Animal Crossing, you know, or something like that, where it's like easier to move things around. But there's not. So it's like a lot of the best stuff, there's, it winds up feeling like for instance, like when you go to change costumes at your wardrobe, you have to kind of scroll through a series of menu options, but you can't preview what each costume will look like on your character. So it's easy to forget what different costumes look like. And it's like, there's some UI stuff like that that's a little, you know, or like I know for you, selecting like weapons and tools and stuff felt really awkward.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, that's been honestly the biggest complaint for me, is like just a lot of the UI just feeling kind of clunky, and like, I don't know. It makes me wonder if it feels that way to Japanese players, or if that's just like, if like part of me being an American and like games in the West are just always developed in a certain way, and maybe it's just something I'm not used to. I don't know if that's possible.
So here's the thing. For me, the UI did not feel clunky until you pointed it out. And the reason is because it has the same fucking UI as the old Rune Factory games.
Oh, okay.
And so like, yeah, it's a fine UI.
But it's a UI that they've been using for like a DS game.
Yeah, it's like for a DS game, it worked, especially when you had like touchscreen options and could like just move things around or whatever. But it's like, even then,
the Switch.
Yeah, it's like, it's really, it feels weird. It feels out of place, and it feels kind of awkward. And I never really even thought about how awkward the UI was until this game. And I mean, you can get used to it, whatever. It doesn't even, it really, like for me personally, as a fan of the series, it doesn't bother me that much, but I can definitely see how someone new to the series would be like, why is like this?
Because really,
like you're juggling a lot of different things. You're crafting, you basically got an RPG, a farming game, and a dating sim all at once. And so like, you've got all these menus that show you what your relationships look like. Here's the map and all of your quests.
And your inventory and your armor.
Here's your inventory with your spells, all your armor, weapons, and also all your crops and your seeds and your tools. Mm-hmm. And it's like they really need to find a way to just kind of let you, I don't know, they really need to redesign the UI and find a way to just make it, I don't know, more intuitive, I guess. But I can see why it would wind up being an issue. But, you know, for me, as someone who's played Rune Factory 3 and Rune Factory 4, I just didn't notice it at first. But then when you said something, I was like, yeah, you're right. This UI is goofy as hell. You know, as far as like the actual gameplay goes and the personality of the game, and also the translation is really good too. You're not a fan of the English voice acting, I've heard.
No, I'm not. but luckily, that can be resolved.
Yes. I will say Addison's not a fan of it, but it does include performances by a lot of really well-known voice actors, and I really like the English voice cast. But if it's not your thing, you can just switch to Japanese voices and it sounds just fine. They also even included like the Japanese voice actor commentary tracks that you can listen to and subtitled them, which is pretty cool, where they kind of talk about like each character and like what they put into the performance and like what they think of the game and stuff like that. So yeah, here's what I'll say about Rune Factory 5. It feels like a GameCube game in all the best and worst ways. That's like how I would describe it.
Yeah, it feels like a GameCube or Wii game that I would have absolutely loved and spent so much time. It feels like, you know, someone said, hey, did you ever play Rune Factory 5 when it came out 15 years ago? And I said, what? No. And then I played it for the first time in 2022 and I'm still having a great time with it. It's just that I'm also pointing at things and going, oh, that's weird. They don't do that in video games anymore.
That is 100% how it feels. And I feel like, and the series, I can't remember the name of the guy who's behind this series, but he is one of the kind of like creators of Harvest Moon, like the, or Story of Seasons. I just still say Harvest Moon. I'm sorry. But don't play the new Harvest Moon games. If you see a game released after like 2012 called Harvest Moon, don't play it. But, the guy that's so that original Harvest Moon game was kind of like, there was like a dream team of like three or four people that really got that game working and the farming system working, and he was one of these guys, and I can't remember what his role was specifically, but then he went on to make, you know, the Rune Factory series, and that kind of became his baby. But it definitely, like, it feels like there are things in Rune Factory that I feel are missing from some of the more modern Story of Seasons games, but there are also things from the more modern Story of Seasons games that, damn it, I wish were in Rune Factory to just make it a little more straightforward as far as like UI and performance goes. Now, all that said, I will say that Rune Factory is the series for you if you, you know, have always been interested in games like Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley, but you're like, I don't want to focus so much on the farming. I just want to like be able to have like it, like the farming is much more arcadey and simple, but then you also get like, you know, a nice little action RPG with some fun combat and cool weapons. And also you can like, you know, it's like almost has like a monster capturing like side mechanic as well. Because you don't hire people to work on your farm or hire sprites. You like befriend monsters. They move to your farm and work on your farm for you. And that's also how you get like milk and wool and stuff, because the cows are monsters and the sheep are sheep monsters, and it's great. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. And then like, so yeah, if you like those games, but you want a little more RPG, or you want a little more dating sim, or you want a little more, you know, just like not as much focus on the farming, I'd say Rune Factory is the series for you. You just got to know that when it comes to Rune Factory 5 in particular, there's some growing pains, and I'm hopeful that the next game in the series will be the like penultimate game, because they have said that they are making another game. And I'm hoping that they, and I know that this game in particular had a huge backlash in Japan when it released, from fans of the series, because apparently the performance was even worse at launch, and it had like tons of crashes and glitches when it first released. And so yeah. I'm pretty sure, and a lot of that's been patched out for us, but there's still some, you know, niggling issues.
But I was going to say, keep in mind that this game has been out in Japan for like a year. Mm-hmm. So don't expect any patches to improve performance or anything.
Yeah.
Because if I think this is as good as it's going to get.
I think there's a chance we could get some if, you know, I think there's a chance, but I really doubt it.
I think maybe if more people had bought it, but I don't think this game sold fantastically well because it came out right next to Kirby.
Well, actually, it's Elden Ring. It's apparently the best-selling game in the series, which isn't saying a ton for a series.
That's because it's on the Switch, but
it's exactly right. But I think what they're probably, if I had to guess, I would guess that they're probably going to port this game to the PC and maybe the PlayStation consoles, because that just seems like a great way for them to make some more money off a game they already made, and also address some of the issues people have had with the performance, because I bet it would just run just fine. Actually, I've got a friend who makes YouTube videos of Wii games being emulated, and he's been posting videos of playing this game at 60 frames per second in 4K on the Switch emulator. So I'm like, you son of a bitch. But, you know, whatever. I really like Rune Factory 5. I think it's a fantastic game. I hate to have to give this many caveats. If you're like a fan of the series or a fan of like this type of game, you're going to have a great time. It's still a great game. And I don't want this to come off as we are just like dogging on the game the whole time. It's just that my expectations for this game were like through the roof. And instead I had to knock it down a couple of notches. Like I was expecting this to be a 10 out of 10 game, and it's like an 8 out of 10 game, you know, but it's like, it's still
a good game.
It's still an 8 out of 10 game. That's still a fantastic game. It's just, you know, not a 10 out of 10. So, and if you hear all this and you're like, this sounds interesting, but I don't want to deal with all this, with all the performance stuff, or I don't really know. Hey, Rune Factory 4 is on the Switch, and you can also just play that one too. So,
or it's also on your 3DS.
It's also on your 3DS. I mean, I know that the Switch version has some extra stuff. Man, I wish I loved Rune Factory 4 like some people do. I just could not get into the characters or the setting. It just wasn't for me. And I really feel like that's kind of a make or break for these types of games. Like you want, because they're all about like living in this place and hanging out with these characters. And if you're not, you know, even if it could be the best game on the planet, but if you're not a big fan of like the place or the characters, it just won't click for you. So this game has much more of that for me, but I wish it was like as polished as 4 was, you know?
Right. So
anyway, it's a good game. I like it. I'm going to give Rune Factory 5 a buy it. I still think, if this sounds interesting to you, if you pick it up, you will have a good time. Yeah.
I will give it a buy it, under the condition that when I say, anime Stardew Valley for the Nintendo Wii, you say, hell yeah.
Like that, what you just described is literally like my dream video game. Like, cause I love the Wii so much. And like, if someone was like, listen, I know you already have all the Rune Factory and Harvest Moon games for the Wii, but what if I told you there's another one? I'd be like, oh shit, I will spend whatever amount of money I have to spend to own this game. Oh, that's another thing I was going to say. If you want to buy this game and you're not sure about it, buy it physical. Just because, I'll just say I don't regret spending $20 on Rune Factory 3. Because that game's like worth over $100 now. So these games tend to hold their value. So
also it has a physical manual.
It does. Even just the regular edition, like the regular release has a physical, and it's a good manual. It's nice and thick and has lots of cool stuff in it. I was just so pleased to see that. That's a great example of this series and this game in particular. It's like, yeah, there's some problems. Yeah, it's got some areas that could use some more polish, but then god damn it, like it has a manual. Like there's just so much like love and care that
went into
it.
It's got a lot of heart.
Yeah, it's got so much heart that like you just can't help but love it. It's a great game. It's just I want it to be a perfect game, and it's not quite there yet, but I'm still rooting for you, Rune Factory. I still love this series. So anyway, that's Rune Factory 5.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk more about it as we play it some more and my hands heal, but you know.
Yeah, we definitely will, because I have now finished Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
God, I'm so excited to talk about this game.
That I can go back to Rune Factory 5. Except, Jordan, like every other Kirby game, there is some... you haven't finished it yet, right?
No, I have not finished it.
There is, like most Kirby games, some stuff that you can do once you have finished it. Mm. And so I'm doing that now. And I thought I would have already gone back to Rune Factory, but I'm like, you know, this probably won't take a whole lot longer if I just do this stuff now. That is just a good example of how much I just absolutely love Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Yeah, I was about to say, so we just talked about a good game where we needed to make a lot of caveats. Now let's talk about a good game where I have no caveats to make. It's just it's just fantastic through
the only
and through
caveat,
on every level.
The only caveat I can think of is just like, not even a caveat, just like the standard thing of like, hey, it's a Kirby game. It's, you know, not very hard. But hey, it's a Kirby game. Like,
yeah. And also I'd say on that note, it's like, no, it's not very hard. But it also, this one has just enough challenge to keep you entertained. You know what I'm saying? It's like Kirby 64. It's not a game where you're going to get frustrated and you got to overcome a bunch of stuff to finish it. But it's not a game like Star Allies where you're just asleep the whole time because mm-hmm. you can't possibly die. It's like this one has just enough to just kind of push you to like feel like you're having a good time. And yeah, God, what a good game. Also, I wanted to, my only caveat I would make is I think we all assumed when we saw the game initially that it was going to be more of a, you know, 3D platformer in the vein of like a Mario, you know, 64 or something. That's what I kind of assumed, but no, it's still a Kirby game. It's still very, very much a Kirby game where you have a world map, you know, you go to a world, you go through 5 or 6 levels and then you fight a boss. And the levels have like their own little gimmicks and their own little, you know, introductions to new powers and stuff like that. It's just from a really cool new perspective. And yeah, it's awesome, but it's still a Kirby game. So if you're not a fan of like the Kirby progression, it may not be for you. But I can't imagine who looks at this game and says, I would not have a fun time playing that if you like video games, because it's just fun as hell. It's just a great game.
It really is. It feels very maybe akin to like Kirby 64 in some ways.
Yeah, for sure.
not like in that you're combining abilities or anything like that, but just like, I don't know. It feels like the evolution of Kirby 64, where you've got more dimensions of exploration, but you're still doing like a linear platforming kind of course.
Yeah. And it kind of feels like Kirby 64 was the last mainline game that kind of mixed up the gameplay. You know what I'm saying? Because like ever since sort of Return to Dreamland, they've all kind of been Return to Dreamland with like a unique gimmick. But this game just kind of is like, hey, let's try a bunch of new stuff. Let's try a game where you can upgrade the power-ups. Let's try a game where Kirby can swallow cars and big metal rings and all kinds of stuff and make little interesting, you know, level gimmicks. Let's put a banger of a vocal track and give Kirby an anime opening.
Hey, it's got an ED as well.
Hell yeah.
Man, it's so good. Every single ounce, every inch, every speck of this game is just like oozing charm, and like just anywhere you look, there's just a lot of like little detail going on. And like, you know, we played it on stream last week and we're doing some co-op stuff, and we did like the little restaurant game, and then we went into Kirby's house and like, oh, there's a picture of us, like of Kirby and like the bandana, good Lord, bandana Waddle Dee, like on the wall. And like, you can collect all these little gacha trophies and you can display some in Kirby's house, and you can go fishing.
God, that's so sick. I can't wait for the fishing minigame to unlock.
I keep forgetting that you've had your fucky hands.
Yes, my fucky hands. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks that I got Kirby and Rune Factory and then I couldn't play any video games for 2 weeks. I'm so frustrated. But
yeah, you know. Man, it's just such a good game. And you know, I was kind of talking about like there not being enough challenge, but that's just Kirby games. But there are like these they call them Treasure Road courses that are in between like the main stages, and those can be really hard to complete at the target time. You can complete them and just do it at like whatever time you get it done at, as long as it's within the time limit. But
and also, go ahead.
But there's also a target time that you're aiming to beat, and that is where like the game gets like pretty challenging.
Yeah.
And I will also say that towards the end of the game, it does pick up a little bit more in challenge. Still not to the point where I ever like was getting too frustrated or like having a hard time, but it does start to pick up more. And also in like the end game area, like post credits, like the stuff that you do after that is also a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. There's also like so if you want to 100% and collect like every single Waddle Dee, which Waddle Dees kind of act as like stars in this game, sort of.
Yeah, or like shines or whatever.
They're just like the thing that you collect as you do tasks. Like each level has, you know, multiple tasks that you can do, and most of those are pretty easy, or like, you know, and some of them you might have to go back like to the level once or twice to like, you know, figure out how to find those hidden Waddle Dees. But the bosses, if you want to get all the boss Waddle Dees, like the last challenge you have to do with those bosses is you can't take any damage.
Yes.
Oh, which is pretty challenging. Just pretty tough. They did give Kirby witch time in this game, which is pretty sick, but
yeah. But also you can like use certain power-ups and guard with them and just never get hit.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Like certain power-ups, like if you're just holding that guard, like you're just never going to get hit. But I mean, you still have to like pop out of the guard to actually attack to, you know, damage the boss. So like you open yourself up then, but you can kind of cheese your way on that challenge if you really want to.
It's also like, it kind of reminds me of like more the difficulty of like something like Mario Odyssey, you know, it's like just enough to keep pushing you along, but not enough that you're going to get frustrated and, you know, I don't know, Like you'll never once be frustrated. I was never frustrated in the time I've played with this game.
I would agree with that comparison up until you get to like some of that later moon stuff on Odyssey.
I didn't think it was that hard.
Maybe I remember having a hard time on some of those moon challenges. I don't know what else to I don't know what else to say about this game other than it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. It does what I want a video game to do. The thing that I look to video games for is to just take me out of my present state of mind and just put a smile on my face for a little bit. And that's all I really need. And
yeah,
that's what this game does. That's what it does, what all of the best Kirby games do. And that is, it makes me smile at that little Kirby boy and feel good about murdering cute animals with a big fireball or a sword. And they turned Kirby into Dio, and I will not elaborate on that. If you have played this game and you know who Dio is, then you probably know what I'm saying. Yeah. But
Kirby, man. Kirby, do you like to be making some anime and tokusatsu references that most people probably don't pick up on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the whole cutter ability is just Ultra 7. It's just Ultra 7.
Yep.
What was I going to say? The, what was it? The weapon system in this game, it's a little different than it has been in the past. Like in the past, you would, you know, kind of go through a level, eat an enemy, and you would get a power up. In this game, there's fewer of those, but you gain these scrolls where you can upgrade those abilities into new abilities. So like sword becomes like great sword, and then it becomes, well, I don't want to spoil what the third evolution is, but it's sick. It's amazing. And it's really fun to kind of see like these power-ups that you know and love, like sword or fire or ice or whatever, like get turned into something completely different or just like that feels very overpowered. And I'm really excited. I am most excited to see the follow-up to this game, because I know that they're going to, I really hope that they just kind of take all those abilities and just add like a ton more with like Leaf and UFO and laser and psychic and all that stuff. I'm really excited to see what they do with this formula, because it feels like, you know, a brand new, fresh Kirby game for the first time in really 10 years, you know, since like,
yeah, because Return to Dreamland was the last one. Star Allies, is that what it was called?
Yeah, that was still following the Return to Dreamland formula, and it was just tired and eh.
I only played the demo of it, but it just, I don't know, it didn't feel, there's some magic missing.
Yeah, and like even like on the 3DS, like I loved Triple Deluxe and I loved Planet Robobot, but like even those were starting to feel like I said on the 3DS. Oh, sorry, I set my phone down. My bad. I said on the 3DS, I still loved like Triple Deluxe and Planet Robobot.
Planet like, what?
Planet. Okay, God damn it, he's gonna do the thing. I hate you so much. Planet RoboCop.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I still love those games. But it's like they were starting to feel a little bit like, yeah, we could do something different now. Like we don't have to keep doing this. But Star Allies was kind of like the ultimate confirmation of that, where it was sort of like, okay, we're done. Like enough. It's time for something different.
So, yeah. Mix it up.
Yep. And like, I appreciated that like on the 3DS games, they basically just took like Return to Dreamland and just kept adding more and more and more power-ups, which is fine. But Star Allies really was just kind of like nothing. It was just, it's like the Donkey Kong Land or Donkey Kong Country 3 of the Kirby series. You're just like, okay, I get it. Yeah. Nice.
So I guess, I don't know. Would you call would you call Forgotten Lands the Donkey Kong Country Returns of this year? I mean,
I think I would call Return to Dreamland the Donkey Kong Country Returns of the series.
Okay.
But like think about how we got like Donkey Kong Country Returns and then we got Tropical Freeze. But if they had done that exact thing a third time, I think like a lot of people would have been like, we're ready for a different Donkey Kong game now, please. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think if they did it now, I think people would probably be okay with it. But if they had done it like, during the Wii U or even at like the launch of the Switch, people maybe would have been more inclined to be kind of bored.
Yeah. And, you know, fortunately, the Kirby series always seems to be innovating and trying new things out, you know, despite what some people might think. You still get like your Kirby Smash Brothers and your Kirby Monster Hunter and all your weird mini games and all that. But this game just it feels like the I just pictured the assification of Kirby in my head. It feels like it feels like the Switchification of Kirby. It feels like this is the Switch Kirby game, you know, in the future when people talk about like, you know, when kids are downloading their Switch ROMs to their phone in the future, it's like the games
this the other day and it hurt.
I always think of consoles in this way. Like if I had this console in my emulation library, what are like the 10 games that I would have, you know, in or like 10 or 20 ROMs that I would have to have. And it's like, I feel like it'll be, you know, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Kirby, you know, Kirby's Forgotten Land or whatever. And
I jailbroke my iPhone 20. So now I can play Xenoblade Chronicles 3 and Kirby and the Forgotten Lands on it.
Hell yeah. God, I'm so excited for Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Oh, I'm so excited. And, you know, there will be people that will enjoy, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and Kirby, whatever that last one was called. I didn't even play Star Allies. Yeah. People will still enjoy, you know, love and enjoy those games. But it's not gonna, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I could compare that to. It's like having, you know, like if you have like an NES emulator, you know, you're going to have Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 on it, but you'd be fine if you just had 3. Like, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's even like not even a great comparison because those games are like incredibly good before, you know, 3. But it's like, you know, there's some series out there. It's like, sure, you could play the first entry or two and they're good, but they're not this next one. And I just feel like this is the Super Mario Brothers 3 of the Kirby series, at least in the modern era. And I love that it's so popular and that so many people are enjoying it. And I'm like, Hassan was playing it on his stream.
Oh, damn. I didn't see that.
Weirdest shit. Yeah. I love
that he's gone from Elden Ring to Kirby.
I would just love to, I don't know. I would love to see, I like seeing more people like Kirby. I hope it doesn't make the fandom completely fucking insufferable like it seems to do for every other fandom. I like it. Oh, and I'm excited to see more Kirby games. And I know they're going to take this, you know, style and probably make 2 or 3 more games out of it. And I have 0 complaints. So that's my take.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, before the follow-up comes out on the Switch 2 or whatever, I would like to see maybe some DLC, like a new world or two or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Well, I wouldn't be surprised because it does seem like it's done pretty well.
Yep. I still would love another Kirby racing game.
Yeah.
I mean, do it really differently to where it like sticks to where, you know, like everyone loves it. Cause I know some people are not a fan of Air Ride, but man, there's so many cool things you can do with a Kirby racing game.
I would love some sort of like, Kirby Superstar Saga 2 kind of thing with like a remake of an old Kirby game, but also
That's
like
great.
A new Kirby ride and like a new Kirby Tilt and Tumble Canvas Curse and
shit.
Kirby
just like
Pinball.
A bunch of cool.
Why can't I think of Kirby games. Golf? What's it called?
Dream Course.
Dream Course, yeah. And like a, you know, a reimagined Kirby's Dream Course.
Yeah. Damn. That'd
Give
be fun.
Me Switch Sports, but Kirby.
Honestly, like, it's just, I don't know. It's a good game. I like it. It's like, it's definitely up there in like my top, you know, 5 or 6 Switch games probably. But I'm also a Kirby maniac. So take from that what you will. But I like it. And it makes me feel happy and it makes me feel warm. And I want more. And I just need my hands to heal first.
I mean, I like it a lot more than Jordan does. It sounds like he was kind of disappointed in it. I don't really see where he's coming from. So he's giving it a pass, but I am giving it an essential.
You know what? I think you've brought me around, Addison, and I'm going to give it an essential too.
Oh, good. I'm glad to see that you've come around on this.
Man, what a time. It's these, like, I can't wait for like 15, 20 years down the road to hear what like kids talk about this era of video games. Cause you know, you get your Zoomers shitting on modern Nintendo and the Switch and all that, but damn, like we're living in kind of a golden era for video games. And I think a lot of people don't realize it. And, it's just a cool time. It's a cool time to play video games, especially for Nintendo fans. As somebody who made it out of the Wii U years, barely intact, I'll just tell you, it's a good time.
There was like a time there before like the Switch rumors started like really flowing where we were like, hey, are we going to keep being able to do the show? Like, what is this show going to be? We're going to have to pivot.
I was like, oh my God, if the Wii U kills Nintendo, I'm not going to be able to play video games anymore. I'm just going to have to buy a PC and play weird indie stuff because that's the only thing I'll care about.
You're going to have to be like me, downloading The Grinch for PlayStation 1.
God damn it.
To put on your old man box connected to your bigger old man box.
At least get some of the good licensed games like Toy Story 2 or, I don't know, Bug's Life or whatever.
I am going to get Small Soldiers, though.
Hey, that's a good game.
Yeah, I know.
Small Soldiers for the PlayStation 1, if you guys didn't realize that. It was like, because originally Small Soldiers apparently was going to be like a big thing and they were going to do like comics and all this stuff, but the game was like the only thing that made it out alive. But it's a great game. It takes place like actual like universe of the you know, fake toy line of the movie, not in the movie itself, which is pretty weird.
I remember playing that a lot at my friend Trevor's house, and then I didn't see Trevor for a long time, and the next time I saw him was when I was playing the Pokemon trading card game. And he made fun of me for playing that while he was there to play the Harry Potter trading card game at Books A Million.
Cool.
And you know what I have to say to that? I have to say, fuck you, Trevor. Pokemon, not a turf.
Hell yeah. Pokemon has actual trans characters in it. So, yeah. Pokemon X and Y do, at least. I don't know if the other ones do, but X and Y do. All right, well, I guess that's our show, right?
Yeah, we didn't ask for questions. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I meant to do that today, I forgot.
You guys, just in case it's not clear, you can always throw questions in the questions channel on Discord or tweet them at us whenever you want.
Just as you think of them.
But, yeah.
Even just if there's something like, pops if there's in like your a, head. If there's like an announcement that happens or like a meme going on or just whatever. If you want to talk about that... Did you see the thing with the Nintendo Bowling tweet today?
I saw something about it, but I didn't have time to click on it.
Thank God you didn't.
I just saw someone say, look God. At the hidden replies.
Don't look at the hidden replies. Absolutely do not look at the hidden replies. Do not under any circumstances look at the hidden replies.
Kind of want to look at the hidden replies.
So there's this GIF that came out like a day or two ago, and someone made it to look like, you know, like when you get a strike at the bowling alley, like how it does a little animation, except in this animation, the bowling ball fucks a pin and then knocks over the rest of the pins with its semen.
Oh, and, okay.
And it's horrific. And anyway, I happened to see it because a Discord that I'm in shared it and I was very upset. But I knew at least through my pain, I could understand why everyone was... Because why everyone was talking about this, you know, seemingly completely wholesome, just little video of you know, this new Switch bowling game.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, dude. But anyway, Nintendo hid the reply of someone posting that GIF in the replies. And everyone was like, God, some Nintendo rep had to see that GIF. Like, Nintendo knows about this GIF because of us. And it was just very sad.
You know, sometimes I actually think that the internet got better than when I was younger, but maybe not.
No, sometimes
maybe,
I think
maybe
I,
it's still a nightmare.
Sometimes I think I should remove the explicit warning on our podcast because it's a pretty wholesome show. But
I was
this,
just thinking about that.
No,
I was
like, no, you
know, it's a good thing we have that, I guess.
The only reason that I marked it as explicit back in the day is because, like, back in the day, if you said the F word on your podcast and didn't bleep it, Apple would ban you. Like,
they
would just kick you off iTunes if you had swearing. I don't even think it was just the F word, just swearing in general, and didn't bleep it and weren't marked as explicit. So, so stupid.
So crazy.
But anyway. All right,
well, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Back to downloading Gundam show. Battle Assault.
Oh, hell yeah. The first one or the second one?
First one.
Yeah, I actually like the first one a little better. I mean, second one's great too, but like the first one just kind of feels like this scrappy little game that makes no sense where characters from different universes are fighting each other and also talking about it. Like, I love if you're like a big Gundam fan and you like go back and play that, the characters are just like, who the hell are you? And then they make little in jokes that you know, only get if you've seen like every Gundam show like I have and you're a loser.
I remember buying Gundam Battle Assault at Walmart of all places for like $10.
Yeah, boy. That is, you want to hear the most Jordan shit of all time?
Yes.
The reason I bought a PlayStation was so that I could play Monster Rancher 2 and Gundam Battle Assault. Those were the two video games I bought a PlayStation for. And then also, kind of like on the side, Jurassic Park Warpath, which I still love.
God, I was playing that last night and I was like, I was playing as an Ankylosaurus and I was just man.
No wonder you had a bad time. That guy sucks. Play as the raptor.
Hey.
No, hey, as a character in the game, not in real life. He's like the ultimate OP dinosaur IRL. But in the video game, not very fun. Like, you know, if someone says, here, you can have the moveset of a Velociraptor or an Ankylosaurus, what are you doing, man?
It was really funny to watch him jump around, though. I like that part.
Would you rather play as a turtle? Hopping. Yeah. I think it's a, is there a Styracosaurus in there? There's like some kind of Triceratops.
I can't remember. Because, like, a lot of them, they just shorten the names down. Like, when you are, like, on the Ankylosaurus, it just says, like, Anky.
Yeah. I think there's a Styracosaurus or something like it. And that dude's also a lot of fun. He basically is, like, a sword character with his horn. He's fun. And, like, one of his specials, he, like, knocks a dude in the air and then impales them on his horn. It's really great. what was I going to say? Okay, this is completely off topic, but I needed to tell you about it anyway, and I couldn't find anywhere else in the show to do it, so I'm just going to say it now. I've been watching, speaking of like fighting and stuff is what reminded me of it, I've been watching Hajime no Ippo, since I can't do anything. Hey, that show fucks, Addison. I don't know if you've ever watched Hajime no Ippo, but it's extremely good.
I am watching Megalobox Season 2 right now.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to tell you. I just want to say, if you ever just want to flip that show on, I turned it on and immediately watched 5 episodes in a row. It is so good and so wholesome and just has
like
great vibes.
Tops of a lot of people's like anime of all time list.
It's so good. If like, it's like watching it and being like, holy shit, I get to watch one of the best 90s anime of all time for the first time. Life is great. It's so good. And also just the animation's fantastic. Like, they almost do more Sakuga in that show for, like, the comedy moments than the fighting. Like, all of, like, there's a part where, like, a dude gets pantsed, and the way it's, like, animated is just like, holy shit, that was incredible. It's really good.
I actually rewatched Akira yesterday.
Damn, what a good
for, like, the millionth time.
Oh, yeah.
I got that on 4K, and so had to check it out.
I need to see that in 4K. Man, I really need to see that. All right, well, that's the show. Do you want to close this out?
Yeah, if I can. Okay. I don't remember. Thanks for listening. We love you all. And go give us some hugs on the internet. And we want to say thank you to those that let us use their music. Our opening is, I just want to make sure that you know it, though, Jordan.
What it's time it trials. Again? It's time trials by Hyper Potions, isn't it?
Yeah. And the closing song, it's not Hut by the River.
It is.
It is Hut by the River. Yep.
By Sound Market.
By Sound Market. I haven't hosted in so long. I don't, it's been a minute. God.
Yeah, like all the other times you hosted when you were so good at remembering.
I usually, like, I got into the habit of, like, having it written down somewhere to look at. I'm sorry. I really do love you guys and appreciate you very much. And yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned at the beginning, but we are streaming again.
No, I did.
I didn't know. I can't remember if we had it or not. We couldn't this week because my hand was fucked up, but
yeah.
We are streaming video games again, and it's been fun.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because something I did forget to mention is, I don't know if you had noticed, but I am taking advantage of a Discord feature to create events for the streams. So at the time of this recording, we have one event there that'll be for our next stream, where we're going to look at the PlayStation Core on the Mister and maybe some like arcade stuff and just kind of do a little Mister tour and play around on that. So if there's any old games that you want to see, maybe let me know ahead of time so I can make sure that they're on there. But I have quite a few already on there. But that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to doing that stream.
Me too.
I was bummed that we didn't get to do it today, but I also completely understand.
Yeah. I was holding out hope to like the last minute, and I was like, and today I feel like a lot better. Like I feel pretty good, but that's why I know I shouldn't.
You don't want to push it though.
Yeah, I should just like, because I want to play Kirby so bad, man.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that's the show. Okay, love you. Bye.